All right, here we go. We are here. Final week of the regular season. It feels like we just started. It always gets depressing, Brent. I'm not going to lie. The end of the season. But I do love the hate component of rivalry weekend. I love that we got so many races that are every bit still alive and fun to follow. I mean, everything's still alive, technically, of who could play for a conference championship. How fun is that? Like, that's pretty dope. And then just the good old-fashioned I hate you, I want to beat you, end of the season. Yeah. My game might not mean anything to me, but I can absolutely screw up your season. Like,
yeah, Georgia Tech,
Georgia Tech comes to mind. Michigan comes to mind. Like, those are the type of games that, you know, as a coach, you're scared to coach in because fake punts, fake field goals, everything's in the repertoire, shots, nothing to lose type of a deal. So where are we starting, big homie?
Well, first off, first comment we have there says Happy Thanksgiving. So Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I do have one question related to that. I know you are slightly picky in a way in terms of the food part. So is there one thing from Thanksgiving that you legit look forward to from a food standpoint?
No, but I look forward to football. Like, I look forward to Thursday football during the game. For y'all that don't know, Brent knows this because – not only does he write for Rivals and PFF, but, like, he's been one of my best friends for a long time. Like, I don't eat sweets. I don't eat to for enjoyment. I eat to fuel my body and to survive and to be healthy. So there is no food that gets me really excited. I know that ticks people off, but that's the way I roll. So back off, Brent. What are you looking forward to eating, though?
I enjoy it all. There's not much that I don't enjoy. I mean, King's Hawaiian rolls with the mashed potatoes and the corn, all of it just together. Just looking forward to all of it. Ham, turkey, both, whatever. I'm equal opportunity.
Bring it all.
So other point, sort of other question to start with, especially given the rankings coming out yesterday and all the discussion the past, say, 24 hours. Have college football fans ever really been happy?
No.
About
no. But we've talked about this, I've talked about this for years, and people don't understand. Like, there is absolutely no system that is going to please everybody. Like,
no.
You're going to be pissed because, again, this is a do you like the bass or do you like the treble conversation? Like, some of y'all like legs. Some of y'all like other things. And that's just the way it rolls. So – the computer system sucked. It's broken. It needs to be decided by human beings. Human beings are now deciding this 12-team playoff and who is in this picture, and we're still ticked off. They were ticked off with 4. They'll be ticked off with 12. They'll be ticked off when we get to 16. It really won't matter, and I get it. And it's, by the way, that's why college football rocks. That's why it's the best sport on the planet, is because there's no other sport that brings this kind of juice, this kind of hatred, this kind of unabandonment, just love for your team, and that's what makes it fun. And here's another thing that I find really fun about this season, Brent, and I think moving forward in college football. Whoever you are one off season away from being relevant. Like, look at this season. Like, you are literally one transfer portal away from signing a bunch of the right guys, Indiana, to being right in the spotlight. Like, that's how cool I think it is now that you can flip your roster like this and you can get more relevant. People are not waiting to go to other rosters. We've been talking about this all year long. They're not waiting to go be backups. And these five-star kids that get recruited to these top schools, when they don't play like they want to, they pout. And they go, not only that, they go get paid somewhere else. So I think we're in a sport that's going to continue to – the parity is going to continue. You know, the quarterback position obviously has a lot to do with the success, but I think you're finding this year, man, the talent is very much spread out.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it – what have we learned from this season? I think being the one seed is kind of somewhat of a disadvantage in a way with the way it's worked out, because 4 and 5 and the other part of that versus 8, 9 playing that first game might be a little bit different. Scheduling imbalance is definitely a thing, and not necessarily from SEC versus Big Ten versus ACC, but even within the own people's conference. Like Indiana, SMU, and Texas, for example, one in each conference, didn't play a lot of the top teams in their own conference. And I do think you said 16. I think it's going to 14, like, in a heartbeat, where there's one bye seat or one bye or two byes, I mean, and then everybody else.
Well, that's another thing. NFL. Let me get on my soapbox real quick. When you see these rankings and the releases come out, It's so stupid to have all of these teams ranked and then another set of rankings. Like, you talk about confusing the piss out of people. You're like, what are you talking about? Like, what does this even mean? So I think we can do a lot of things to continue to make this sport better. But I think parity is not a bad thing. Like, that's something that I know everybody fought back with NIL, fought back with transfer portal. But because of that, we have more parity. And that's pretty dang cool. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Where are we jumping into, though, to get some football, big homie?
A game that has not happened since 2011. You said you thought you might have been on the call. So this is Texas at Texas A&M. I went back and I listened to a little bit. I know I heard Jesse and Reese, but I don't think I heard you, actually.
Okay.
So I couldn't remember that. But so Texas wins on a walk-off field goal in the game.
Well, Jesse talks so much, I very rarely get to talk. Anyways, love you, JPP.
So this is obviously the winner of this game goes to the SEC championship. I've seen sort of notes that it's the most expensive ticket that we've seen for a long time. Do you remember who were the quarterbacks for Texas and Texas A&M in 2011?
Oh gosh, I don't, and I'm not going to sit here and waste everybody's time.
Yeah, Colt McCoy and Ryan Tannehill in the game, and then the winning kick was made by Justin Tucker. So who's probably.
He's pretty good.
Maybe won some fantasy championships for some people with a.
You're not winning fantasy championships because of your kicker, but yeah, I hear you, Brent. Yes.
But yes, this game is big in terms of who goes to the SEC championship. And, you know, you got Texas A&M that's sitting there, I think, at 20, still has a shot to be in the playoff.
Yeah, and fresh off a loss. They're not a team that is in a great position to make the playoffs. They need this. They're at home. Which matters. Obviously, that's a big deal. Kyle Field, we've talked about that a bunch, is a great atmosphere, one of the best in college football, some of the cooler traditions in college football. A&M, the more I look at them, man, I think losing Moss hurt them, like running the football. And they've been a different team because I watched them last week against Auburn, very pass happy. And I don't think they have a guy that is going to tote the rock a bunch in the game that you feel comfortable, that's going to break tackles and make a bunch of plays for you. And because of that, I think the running game suffered because they never were the big passing attack team. That's not what they were. Reed's been really, really good. I think his legs in a one-game situation is going to be a big deal. And I think you can run him more and you'll probably see him run more. I always worry about him because he's so small. But, Brent, Texas defense is really good. Like, we can talk about Texas and their offense and Sark, and that's what we usually talked about, and that's what we talked about, you know, a lot in the past. But I think their defense is the reason why they've been so good at every level, so consistent, don't give up big plays, rushes the quarterback pretty well, you know, turns the football over. Like, they're a really good defense, and A&M is very one-dimensional. And I don't think – actually, I don't know what they do great right now, Brent. I don't think they do anything that is – they're not running it great. They're not throwing it great. So they're going to have to find some offense and some way to move the football consistently.
And get help from their defense, which the defensive line is the strength of their team.
Yep.
And it has to show up in a big way in this game. You have to tackle well. By the way, they have one of the worst tackling grades in the SEC as a team because, I think – you're going to have struggles, and you might get some first downs because of Reed's legs, but there's going to be some struggles offensively, and you're going to have inconsistencies offensively. So can you keep Texas, much like the Arkansas game, for the Texas-Arkansas game, where can you hang around, and then make a play and use the crowd, use the environment to your advantage? But look at what Auburn did to them last week down the field. Peyton Thorne on 20-plus yard throws, 5 of 8, 213, 2 touchdowns. But that's not really what Texas does, and it's not really what Ewers has done.
With Ewers in the game, with Manning, they've been more bombs away. Bond has been banged up. And here's the thing, if you're an A&M fan, whether you like it or not, and y'all are going to hear me say this, and you've heard me say it all year because it matters, the home crowd helps the defense. It is an enormous help for snap count purposes. Texas's best thing right now, honestly, it's not the big play. They've got to run the football, and they had two backs basically get over 100 a week ago, which is a great sign. That is a great sign for them because if you get in drop back mode, just like against Texas defense, every one of A&M, I've said this about three teams so far this season, and I'll say it about this team. This is the third team. Every one of A&M's got defensive linemen are getting drafted. Every single one of them are going to go play in the NFL. Like, they are very talented. They can get after the quarterback. They're physical enough to stop the run. So Blue and Wisner will be huge. Ears, when you pressure him, Brent, becomes extremely human. Like, he wants to get the ball out of his hands. When you move him off his spot, he wants to throw the football. But when you get to him and hit him as he's throwing it, you know, you've seen plenty of examples this season where that he's going to struggle. I think this is a low-scoring game. I really do. I don't trust either offense to really get going against really good defenses. But I lean Texas because I think their defense is more complete. Texas's secondary is really, really good. A&M's secondary scares me. And their lack of tackling, like you talked about, and big plays that they will give up.
Yeah, I do think Texas wins the game. Sean in the chat there, it's 21-17, I think. Or it's 21-17 A&M. I would probably go flip it around the other way. But, yeah, like we said, and look at all this, these sort of underdogs, especially double-digit underdogs in SEC home games, doing very well this year. Very well this year.
Hey, good question. Real question. This question revolves around this game. So Nate, he said, what happens if A&M – beats Texas and then loses the SEC title game? They're out. Yep. Like, that's four losses.
They're watching.
Yeah. I mean, they already have three, so they're already there in that three-loss situation, which is really, really tough. So I think A&M would be out. Interesting thing for Texas is with all the losses, and if they lose this game and now have two losses against the only two good teams they played, their next best win is Florida at 6-5 and Vandy. Like, those are the two, you know, kind of wins for Texas. I think Texas could be in some trouble in that situation. Mm-hmm. But obviously with the lack of two lost teams and them being at three, I still think they actually might be in the college football playoff. They're very much in the mix. It's not a given that they would be out, but I think it would be a bubble situation. And but when you spin it to the SEC championship game, if you're Georgia, who do you want to play? You want to play A&M or you want to play Texas?
I'd rather play A&M just because I know how good Texas defense played against me, and that element is probably of the four elements in those two teams is the most elite of those four elements.
And I think one thing though I think about if you're a Georgia guy is if you lose to Texas and you beat them, I think they're still in the college football playoff.
Yes,
I think you split, so it really doesn't – we're not going to hold that against you playing an extra game when you did beat that team one time. I think Georgia would be the first three-loss team in the mix because, you know, they played an extra week and they lost to a team that they beat. So they beat them and they lost to them. So I think that would matter. But where do you want to go next?
In terms of games that matter, Miami at Syracuse on Saturday afternoon. Miami's an 11-point favorite. Can Syracuse keep Miami under 30 points because the only team that did that is the team that beat them. That would be Georgia Tech.
Well, and you know the answer to that. The answer is ale, no. They ain't keeping them under 30 points. Like, if you've watched Syracuse defense this season, absolutely not. I think it's really, really cool to note in this football game that you have the nation's leading passer. And it ain't Cam Ward.
No, it's not Cam Ward.
So, I don't know if people know that. Like, remember Kyle McCord? We talked about him early in the season, and he kind of went away because Syracuse has struggled, but he is really good, and he's got the most yards of anybody in college football. He transferred from Ohio State. He's got weapons that he spreads it around to. And one thing, Brent, why I give Syracuse very much a puncher's chance is McCord doesn't take a lot of sacks. He's really good at seeing, diagnosing, and getting rid of the football. So I like that. Like, I think that because Miami's defensive line is good. Like, they can get after quarterbacks. They can be physical. Miami's secondary can absolutely be had. Like, I don't need to explain that to you. If you're a Miami fan, you've been watching that all year long, and you're probably sick and tired of it. So, man, I think this is another barn burner. This is another fun one. If it comes down to a replay, I'm sorry, Syracuse, you're going to lose because Miami has won all of those this season.
They're blessed.
They are extremely blessed. But another interesting part about this game to me, Brent, is if Miami loses, Clemson goes to the ACC championship game, whether they win or lose.
Yes.
But is Miami still in the mix?
I don't think so.
You think they fell all the way out and they're not even considered as a two-loss team?
I would agree with that.
All the flirtations, lack
you're
of
have
defense.
SMU at 11-1 in the championship game. They would be, you know, at worst 11-2. I think they would be above them. But you're right in terms of Miami, their defense, the secondary, one of the lowest grades in the country, but the pass rush, fifth highest pressure rate in the country. So if Syracuse can hold up a little bit.
Pro football focus, so he has all these numbers. Has numbers. He has numbers palooza.
Has data. All right, so the Big 12 has four games that everybody matters in that, but we got four that really primarily matter. Colorado on Friday hosting Oklahoma State, who's yet to win a game in the league. Arizona State at Arizona. Kansas State at Iowa State, which the temp is supposed to be in the 20s versus the 70s in Arizona. And then at Houston at BYU Saturday night. So is any of the favorites?
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I got something real quick. This cracks me up, Brent. I have to read this to you.
Okay, read away.
I came across this study, and this makes me – so all the scenarios and all the teams that are still available in the Big 12. So if you want to think about it shorthand, Arizona State, Iowa State win, they're in. Okay, that's what we think is going to happen. But it's
both of
not
them together, 100%. By the way, both of them together.
Yes, both of them together. Yeah. Interesting dynamic. Listen to this. Win and they're in Arizona State, unless Arizona State, if they win, they are in the Big 12 championship game, unless Colorado beats Oklahoma State, Iowa State beats Kansas State, Houston beats BYU, Texas Tech beats West Virginia, Baylor beats Kansas, and UC beats TCU.
That's
freaking hilarious to me, bro. Like, so there is a chance. You're saying there's a chance, one in a million? I mean, that's
– Mary Samsonite says there's a chance.
That's crazy to me. Like, that's what the Big 12 is. Like, it's a bunch of bonkers and a bunch of madness. But
one thing related to the Big 12, though, in terms of the playoff, and looking at this, and you look at Tulane sitting there, I think it's 17. They play actually on Thanksgiving night against Memphis, another 9-2 team.
Yeah.
I think Tulane only gets the group of five spot. I don't think you can put even if it's a 10-3 champion from the Big 12 below and put Tulane ahead of them and basically knock the Big 12 out, because Tulane's two losses to Kansas State and then also and Oklahoma. So like, which is basically a Big 12 team. So they were until this year.
Well, and Kansas State is, that's not even in the mix. So I'm with you on that. Like, that's a big deal.
Tulane's only path is being the group of five spot. So yeah. Good luck in terms of figuring out what actually happens in that realm. All right, so let's get to some like true rivalry games. Obviously, all of them have implications, but first off, we're gonna talk about one where 20 years ago today, by the way, 20 years ago, you had a game against Georgia Tech, because Georgia Tech goes to Georgia just like it did 20 years ago, and there was
an
infamous play. Do you recall said infamous play?
You're talking about the Reggie Ball 4th-and-21, throwing it out of bounds after a 3rd-and-21 spike of the clock with a bunch of time with 30 plus seconds on the clock. Yeah, I remember that. Golly,
So I Patrick Garbin from UGASports.com put a video about it. I saw Coach Fab dapping you up there after coming off the field. I vaguely remember this. I was just starting graduate school and working every other weekend, so
attaboy.
I don't remember this as much, at least not watching it live. But so, what do you remember about that game?
Calvin Johnson, bro. Calvin Johnson, mega freaking Tron. That's what I remember about that game. That dude was senior day, and I think Paul Oliver got three or four pass interferences on one possession. Because they kept throwing fades to Calvin and Paul kept tackling him. And I'm like, I love it. Like, don't give it to him. And we kept stopping. And then it was another chuck it to Calvin. But
the huge human that is right there in the screen.
Yes. That, and I love that dude, man. He's a great dude. And I did a video with him at his golf tournament. You're seeing it now, but like this past year. And the thing that I loved about Calvin was his disdain for Georgia. Like, he hates Georgia. And I love that because Georgia offered him, and he told me why he went to Georgia Tech, and I don't think I can tell it on the airways, but he felt like he got
he was compelled.
Got a little bit disrespected by Georgia and their situation that they had there. It could have been handled better. Should have been with that freak. It should have been handled better. But obviously,
the game itself. No.
Okay. I mean, I told you that's all I remember about the game was the ending.
No, I mean this game.
Oh, you want to get to
this
the game.
Week.
Yeah.
This the actual game that's being played this week, not the 20 years ago game.
I've talked to several coaches in the SEC and several coaches that have played Georgia. And the game they watched from a year ago was the Georgia Tech game. Because Buster Faulkner, who's the offensive coordinator for Georgia Tech, was at Georgia. He knows all of Kirby's checks. He knows how they communicate. He knows everything about it. He spent those championship years with the team. And so I just know that Buster will have their offense ready. They're already a good offense. You know, and he'll use – if King isn't healthy, he'll use two quarterbacks with Philo like he did against Miami to still beat him when he only passed for 39 yards, you know, something like that. But I know Buster will have a plan. I know Tech will be outmatched and outmanned. But I also know that I absolutely love Georgia Tech's approach to this game. They've been very clear where they stand and how much they hate Georgia Tech. And I think that I think this game is a sneaky good game because I think Tech's pretty good, and especially on the offensive end. And you just saw Georgia's defense continue to struggle in big spots against UMass.
So do you take any stock into that game against UMass, or is there some element of a, hey, we've played one of the toughest schedule or the toughest schedule in the nation, and we kind of took a breath there?
I think they took a breath, and I can tell you this from talking to some people over there, Kirby didn't take a breath, and they have been like, you have not
turned up the volume.
You have not loved being a part of the Georgia program this week. I can promise you that. Like, it's been loud, and there's been some challenging that's been done in that locker room, Brent, and it might serve the team well down the stretch. But I expect Georgia Tech to keep it pretty close. They know how to shift. They know how to motion. Faulkner knows how to screen game. He does a great job with the QB run game. Like, Tech's a sneaky, good offense. Their pass defense is where they're pretty weak, and that's where if Beck keeps it going, obviously playing at home is good. Friday game is different than Saturday. You worry about the crowd and how involved they are and how big of a deal that is. But obviously, Georgia's more talented. You expect them to win, but I do think this will be a close game for three quarters into the fourth quarter, and Georgia's gonna pull away.
Last year, close to the very end. All right, so next one is the game, as they call it, which, by the way, Michigan at Ohio State, first time since 2017 it's not a top 15 matchup, and the first time in 4 years it's not a top five matchup. Do you think Ryan Day takes out 3 years of frustration on the blue and yellow, maize and blue?
Let me tell you something. I've known Ryan for years and his personality, and I can tell you this, no one takes it harder when they lose than him. And he goes into a cave and he gets frustrated and doesn't want to come out, and I love how much he cares, and this game matters. And Michigan is 0-3, and if you watch the end of the Indiana game, you saw the little cantankerous Ryan Day. I like the cantankerous Ryan Day. Like, I love that. I love petty. I'm here for petty. I'm here for rivalries. I'm here for it's your job to stop me. And what happened on the goal line late in the game? They run the football in. Trayvon Henderson tried to slide down. They could have easily taken a knee, and Ryan Day said, "Eat it. That's what we do. That's who we are." 0-3 against Michigan the last 3 years. They've won the Big Ten the last 3 years. They won the national championship. I expect Ohio State to be pissed. I expect them to be motivated, which is a good thing. It's hard to get up sometimes when you look at the records. But when you hate teams, it makes it a lot easier. When you know what they're about, it makes it a lot easier. So this is a game that I think we'll learn a little bit about Ohio State, but their defense is the biggest difference. I've been saying it for weeks. The where they're weak, Brent, and we've talked about it, is the secondary. Like, can you make plays on the corner spot? If you've watched Michigan, you know the answer to that question. Absolutely not. Like, they can't complete a forward pass, okay? They just they struggle with that part of the game currently, which is why they're going to pay Underwood a lot of money to come in there and play quarterback probably next year.
I think if Michigan's defensive line against Ohio State's offensive line, that might keep it a little closer for a little bit. But no, in the end, this is a very much a big time discrepancy. It's just a matter of what's the gap, say mid third quarter, later in the third quarter, because Ohio State knows they got, you know, if they're up and up 21, they got Oregon next week. Like, it's that's I think that's really the only thing that matters. Do they sort of turn off the gas, take the foot off the gas pedal a little bit, or is it just, hey, all gas, no brakes?
Absolutely. If they take the foot off the gas, I'll be extremely disappointed in Ryan Day. And you're right. That's the biggest key in this football game. Because, again, Ohio State did not push Indiana around and run the football. They had the late run. They had the late run that really made it look like they could run the football. But besides that, they couldn't. And this is the third defensive line, Brent. So this is number three. I have three defensive lines where everybody's getting drafted. Everybody's getting drafted on Michigan. Like, this is a really good, physical, versatile defensive line. And I think they can stop the run game, but I don't know how they're going to stop the weapons and the design. And, you know, it's interesting, man. Like, Ohio State's a team that I think people struggle cheering for. But, like, you kind of feel bad for them the last 3 years. Like, the Michigan game in particular. Because every game you go into it, it's like Ohio State's more talented. They're going to win. And they keep losing. But I'll say another stat in this game. And I used this on television a couple years ago to pick Michigan to beat them the first time. It was the winner in the rushing attack in this game since, like, 2005, Brent, has won the game. How about that? The winner of the rushing game. Because, again, it gets colder. It gets more physical. Michigan probably has the better running team when they win. When they lose, they get throttled and they get shut down. And I just don't think they're complete enough. But break out all the tricks, onside kicks, whatever I need.
The stat nerd in me would push back a little bit and say they're running more because they're winning. But, you know, we'll not go there.
I mean, 20 years?
But you have a large enough sample size to maybe to go with your point.
Thank
right
you,
there.
Sir.
All right. Next one, Tennessee at Vandy. Does Vandy own the state of Alabama and the state of Tennessee?
You like saying that, don't you? I mean,
I mean, because they might. they very well could.
It sounds strange coming off the tongue. Okay, so I think everybody knows who's favored in this game. I think everybody knows why you should favor Tennessee. Here's something about Tennessee that I've loved all year long, Samson. Like, that, he's a dude. I mean, he's a stud. He's the best part of their offense. It's not debatable. I know we talked about Nico. We blew him up. Nico's starting to look better in those. When I watched him against Georgia and on the sidelines, Brent, that ball comes out hot. The intermediate game, the windows, he's starting to address better. I see a better version of him. I see the deep ball a little bit more accurate and underthrown at times. I see improvement. I like that from Nico, because there was a stretch, man, where he was bad. Like, he was really bad, and he was the reason that they weren't beating people. And I think they've got the offense figured out. To me, the one spot where this game gets to be a weakness is Pavia and company. Do you go Georgia on me? Pavia and company can run the football better than Georgia. I said that out loud. Vandy can run it better because of the QB run game, the option principles. Where did Georgia attack Tennessee, Mr. Breakdown Film Guy?
I mean, you're in the passing game, mainly.
Passing game, linebackers, safeties. Like, really go after safety for Tennessee. I think with the play action with Vandy, with the style of play they play, you know, running that clock down, this could be a fun game late in the game. If they can get stops and possess the ball, but I don't see them getting a ton of stops because of the speed. But
Tennessee, to me, they, in terms of how they played Georgia, they played a lot of, especially on early downs, a lot of eight in the box, and Georgia would just play action, throw over the top of them. They do that to Vandy, that's going to be the same thing. Now, one question for you, and I think one thing that I want to playoff related. To me, even if Vandy beats, unless Vandy destroys Tennessee and it's ugly, if Vandy beats Tennessee here, I still think I would put Tennessee in the playoffs over Bama. Because they both would lose to Vandy. You've got Oklahoma as a common opponent. Hey, Tennessee went and won at Oklahoma. Bama went and got drubbed at Oklahoma. Georgia, hey, Tennessee lost on the road. Alabama beat at home. And Tennessee beat Bama. So, to me, I think Alabama is completely and utterly out of the playoffs, even though I know that – you just never know with that.
So you're burying them. They're done.
I think so, because, like I said, even if Tennessee loses, I would put Tennessee in ahead of them because the common opponents plus the beating them. Now, I realize there's some other parts of the schedule.
I was about to say, what about Miami that could possibly lose and
all that? But if you're comparing those two, if it's down to those two, I take Tennessee because they beat them on the field and then they, you know, the common opponent part.
Yeah, I think that's – I can get down with that, common opponents, head-to-head. But you can always – man, you play at Alabama, it could be a different game, you know, which is always part of it too. But Tennessee looks to me – Alabama does not look like – listen, they played great against LSU and then turned around and laid an egg. But I probably trust Tennessee more because I feel like Tennessee could get down 14 and they could come back. Alabama, they're done. Like, they get down, that's a tough spot for them. So that's crazy that we're talking about that. Like, but that's where we've come to in this point in the season. So
the other noon game, South Carolina at Clemson.
I love this game. I love this game. I absolutely love this game. I love everything about it. I've always loved this game too. First time that both these teams are ranked since 2017 facing each other. So that's kind of crazy, but South Carolina just hot. They've won five straight. They know who they are more. Like, you can tell, Lenora Sellers. Like, Brent, I think they've done an unbelievable job with this offense because I think they manufacture offense left and right with all kinds of different design. I think they break tackles with Sellers and Rocket Sanders consistently. I think Campbell and Simon and have been making plays after the catch. Now, like, here's the thing with South Carolina. It's not as hard anymore. Like, it used to be hard. Every drive I watched their offense, Brent, it was like, gosh dang, it's hard. It's difficult. It's breaking tackles to make plays. But, like, their screen game is fun to watch. Their QB run game is fun. Now their ability to pass the football and making plays out wide is fun. So I think South Carolina's been doing this. And I asked you this on Tuesday night, Brent, and what is Clemson? I love Clemson. I love Dabo. What have they done to be at that spot in the rankings? Like, what? I want to be all in. I want to be all in with you, Clemson friends. Like, I love Dabo. I love them. But what have they done to impress? They lost by 31 to Georgia, right?
Yeah.
31. And their next best win is?
Pitt. Lost at home to Louisville. Yeah. If they win this game,
they got it. They got it.
I think it definitely puts them above an Alabama. It puts them, you know, definitively above them in a way.
And they got a good win if they win this game because South Carolina is a good team. Like, do not look in the past. They barely lost to LSU. They barely lost to Alabama, and then they lost to Ole Miss. Those are, you know, two of those teams are really, really good. Ole Miss, they were up 17-0. They got screwed by the referees, and their quarterback got hurt. Like, if one of those don't happen, I think they win the football game. But it didn't, and it happened, so that's part of it. But Clemson beat up on the offensive line. You have to run the football to beat South Carolina. No one has obliterated them through the air. So I don't expect Clemson to drop back and protect and obliterate them because they're so good. I mean, they're so good at rushing the passer with all those guys up front. You got to run the football. So if Klubnik gets down and they run the football and he gets nasty and he gets, you know, 15 carries, it's the only way you're winning this game. If Klubnik gets in effect, Mafa's not going to line up with that offensive line. You better have some great design and he better make plays because that's the only way they're going to beat South Carolina.
Yeah, I think it's, like you said, Klubnik, it's going to take a sort of superhero-esque performance, I think, from him for them to win this game. I would go with South Carolina as well. Next one going out west, Notre Dame, 7.5-point favorites at USC. Notre Dame has obviously been sort of on that escalating path going up, but also Spanking. I don't know if a two-loss Notre Dame team is a playoff team. I don't. If USC somehow, which by the way, they got Jaden Maiva, the transfer from UNLV, that's started the last couple games, started playing really well, adds a QB run element to their offense. If USC, you know, we mentioned last night, they've had a lead in the fourth quarter in every game.
Yeah,
does it happen again? Do they actually take care of business? And if so, I don't. That Notre Dame is a two-loss team when one of those losses is to a team in the MAC that's at home that's so low in the MAC, and then you've played a couple decent teams and you lost another one. Like, I don't think two-loss Notre Dame is, or they might be 12th or the last team in.
I still think they would be in, providing it wasn't a beatdown because of where we're at. They got the A&M win, which was pretty good. They beat Louisville, who's a pretty good team. The level of dominance that they've shown, I think, is pretty impressive. They're a hard team to stop. It's weird to watch USC now and to watch, you know, just to watch Lane over, or not Lane, wow, that was a while ago, to watch Lincoln over the years and how explosive they've been and how good they've been, and to watch them now, like, they're manufacturing offense. I mean, they're just, honest to goodness, Woody Marks is the best thing they got going. Like, they run the football, and then it screens, and now, Jaden's going to have to run the football as well, and he's a big dude. He's 6'4", 220, and like you said, transferred from UNLV. I'm also used to our boy having literally walking in recruiting offices and walking into homes and going, okay, I recruit Heisman Trophy winners. I'm Lincoln Riley. Nice to meet you. Here's my Heisman Trophy list of guys, and here's what I do.
Number one draft picks.
This is what I do, so just sign here. Not a transfer from UNLV that hasn't played great, but his legs might be the difference in this game and keep him in it and keep him around, but I like Notre Dame. Notre Dame stops the run. They're physical. They lead the nation in takeaways. USC is not great up front. USC has struggled to stop the run, by the way. Notre Dame has – they're number two in the country in yards per carry, over six yards a carry. Like, I just – I'm a believer, man. I like Notre Dame. And it's bitten me in the past, and you're right. You were talking about it the other night. You said, like, prove it to me. And this is an opportunity for them to go a couple time zones and play a good team. They ain't a great team by any stretch. And really stamp themselves, though, and put themselves in a good position.
I do think if they beat USC, they should jump Penn State. I think that – I thought they would this past week, but they didn't. Last one, Iron Bowl, Auburn at Alabama. It's getting interesting in Tuscaloosa. The guy on that called in the Feinbaum show, legend. He had another legendary rant about the state of Alabama football. Things aren't looking well in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, and then that will change in a week. You know, they'll jump back on the bandwagon if things happen and win. That's just the way it works. I do want to give a shout out. Before we get too far down the road, Jarquez Hunter from Auburn, like, in an era, man, where everybody leaves, he came in and he kind of was splitting carries, and you could tell he was a dude early, and he just runs his tail off. He's physical. He's number 27, by the way. He's really fun to watch. Makes things happen. He's the leader of this team. He's the leader of the offense. It goes through him. Could have transferred. Auburn struggled like crazy, Brent. Like, absolutely struggled, and he continues to be a bright spot, and just, you never hear anything about him, just leads. I love that Bama and what they looked like a week ago. I mean, god dog, that was one of the worst performances you've ever seen from Bama. Like, they scored 3 points. I think it was over 20 years since that happened. You know, something like that, since they've been held to 3 points and gave up 255 yards rushing. That's called physicality. Like, that is sheer right here toughness, you know, pointing at you. They could not run the football. And it's tried and true. And I wrote this down earlier. Brent, Oklahoma game, Milrow, 12 yards rushing. Vandy game, 20 yards rushing. Tennessee game, 34 yards rushing. Like, cut the head off the snake, bro. Like, he is the guy. And what I also see when I watch tape on him, Brent, turn him back inside. Like, don't let him get on the perimeter. Get him back in the middle. He gets that wide, man, bad things happen. Like, when you approach him in all of his read game, make that go inside. Make that go to your help. Even if you're not making the tackle, when they are running any kind of read game, I don't care about Jam Miller. I don't care about Haynes. I don't give a crud. I'm stopping Milrow. Milrow is my dude. Priority one, two, one, and then Ryan Williams, okay? I can't go too far down the list because that boy good. But I think you've seen you got to stop his feet if you want to stop this Alabama team.
and Alabama can run the football, like you said, with Hunter, who was, by the way, I think one of the last recruits to come in that Harsin class when he first came there and has been there since then and been a baller for them. And Cam Coleman now, the five-star receiver.
Baller.
Elevating his game a little bit. This could get interesting, but obviously it's in Tuscaloosa, not in the insanity or, as Nick Saban called it, haunted place that is Jordan-Hare. So,
Jordan-Hare.
Who do you think we're playing? You see in the SEC championship game ultimately next week, Georgia versus
Texas.
All right, ACC championship game, SMU versus.
Ooh, I'm gonna give it Miami by a whisker, by a 42-35.
It feels like Louisville 2.0, where it's, you know, 52, you know, up, first one to 40, first one to 50, that kind of game.
I think high scoring, faux show.
Big 12, do we see Iowa State and Arizona State, or is it something different?
There's no way it's that. It's got to be. It can't be.
I agree.
The Big 12.
I feel like there's a way that Prime is going to somehow get involved in this, mainly because he plays Oklahoma State this week and everybody else doesn't.
There's just no way the Big 12. There's no way the Big 12 is going to go down that easily, where it's going to be Arizona State, Iowa State, plug and play. Absolutely not. There's going to be something that wild that happened. By the way, you know what's interesting, too, is Baylor is a Hail Mary away from being really good position. I mean, that early season Hail Mary, you know, versus Colorado, this is even more different. But they're not letting us off the hook with that. No way, no how. And Arizona last year versus Arizona State threw for 55,000 yards in one game. Like, it literally kept coming.
They might
coming.
Have one in them.
Hey, and T-Mac McMillan, the receiver for Arizona, when we start getting to the draft coverage, like, he's going to be the number one receiver drafted. Like, he's that kind of good. Last year he went for, I think, 266 against Arizona State, something like that. And Arizona State's secondary is better, but it's still a weakness. And I think Arizona will score, and who knows. But this is the Big 12 will not let us down. That's
chalk.
They
it can't be chalk. I think that is the ultimate answer there.
No way.
I think that's it.
That's all we got?
Last fun week of regular season college football.
Last week.
Thankful for college football.
Thankful. 100% thankful. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving. Spend some time with your family. Brent will tell you to eat some bad food. I will tell you to stay on your diet.
I'm not going
bad food. You're going to have a splurge evening, Thanksgiving dinner. Just don't have breakfast. Don't have lunch so the calories don't add up. And then you can go crazy at night. You're going to get that coma. You don't want that coma, that food coma. It just gets weird and nasty. Here's the thing, though. Here's a promise. We will be back Saturday. Saturday night, breaking down all the games. Shoot, Brent, we have our own game Friday night, but maybe we'll do a recap of Friday night games, too, because those Friday night games are gonna have an indication of what's going to happen to come, too.
Yep, we will not be watching Georgia for the first time.
We are at North Oconee, are in the quarterfinals of the state championship run, where I coach and Brent's son starts, and we got Cartersville this week. We've got C Vegas, Josh Brock, and Ronnie Brown alum, but we got to take care of business. Home game, thank goodness. But we'll see y'all Saturday.